Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Tammy Darcy has been on the show before. She is founder of the Shona Project. She has grown it from an idea to a nationally recognised award-winning organisation that provides support, advice and mentorship to young women and non-binary school-going students. They celebrate women all over the world and recently announced that they will be bringing boys into the group chat. And Tammy Darcy joins me in studio now. Tammy, you're very welcome.
I love that, bringing the boys into the group chat.
The boys have entered the group chat because I remember in one of our first interviews, I don't know if you were on to talk about your book or the Shona Project in general, but I said, what about the boys? And I remember you saying at the time, well, on the one hand, I have to sort of stay in my lane. I can only do what I can do. But since you've begun to grow the organisation, now is the time where you're able to take that on.
Well, I wouldn't even say that I'm able to take it on. I would just say nobody else took it on. So I mean, to be fair, the last time we spoke, we were really working hard to get the Shona Project for Girls to the stage that it's at now. And increasingly over the last couple of years, our girls are telling us that, you know, they feel boys need support and that they feel that boys are not equipped to deal with, you know, things like relationships and stuff like that. So, you know, we've been hoping that somebody else would, because there's 250,000 girls in Ireland and that's going to keep us busy for a while. But as time went on, I kind of realised, well, we have built a framework here now that's working. So rather than somebody else coming in and starting from scratch, if we could just fundraise enough to fund this for a year and see how it goes. And we were able to do that. So now hopefully from September, we'll be able to go out and do similar work with young men.
And it's so important, isn't it? And I mean, I did mention non-binary. So, I mean, this is for everyone. This is for young people. This is basically supporting young people to be the strongest adults that they can be. And initially, you wanted to obviously do it for girls. So to empower girls, we need to be talking to the boys as well, because, you know, ultimately we all interact.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's like any kind of equality movement existing in a vacuum where, you know, most of the people who talk about gender equality are women, and we can only do so much and we can only bring it to such a certain level before we need everybody to get involved. And we've always said about the girls that when you support girls, you support their schools, their teachers, their communities, their parents, you know, everybody benefits, their employers. And there really just has been a gap there for so long that I feel now that once we are able to give boys the same level of support, it will make school systems, families, communities much more empowered, and young people who will eventually become employees, hopefully we'll be able to give them the tools that they need to succeed.
Because something that you said to me previously that has really stayed with me was girls saying that they felt like a moving target. Mm. And that's really quite startling. And obviously you want to talk to girls about how to navigate that, how to feel empowered through that. Mm. But then you're going to have to speak to the boys. If you really want to help that issue, the boys need to be spoken about, not only about that and how they view girls if they're heteronormative. At the same time, there are big gaps in support for boys. I mean, they really need that. And I say that as a mother of a son, as I know you are of two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I feel that, to be honest, a lot of this conversation is alienating the boys, because you don't support boys so that they treat girls well. You don't support boys so that, you know, they don't get into, so that they don't commit crimes. You support boys because boys need support, you know, and I feel that that's why so many boys feel left out of this whole conversation. And I think that when you are able to give them space and time to figure out what it means to be a man in the same way that we do with the girls, then hopefully they won't do those things, but they feel like they're part of the conversation and they feel like somebody cares about just their general well-being. And young boys are amazing. As you know, you said, I have two, you have one. There's so much potential there, but they just feel left out of the conversation. And I think that's why so many of them are turning to kind of frameworks and communities that are not really positive.
Yeah, well, good for you. I feel a little calmer inside that Shona Project are taking this on, and we might look at it as you get up and running with that a little bit more. But let's talk about the girls then, because you did do incredible research this year. It's called Perfect Storm. And I just want to give some of the stats from it, some of the headline stats. 67% of girls say their school environment is not safe or a welcoming space at all. 89% carry anxiety or worry that nobody knows about. 79% sometimes feel no good at all. 80% believe their generation faces more challenges than those before. And 70% feel social media negatively affects their mental health. When you got these stats back from this piece of research, were you surprised, or is this what you're hearing in workshops all the time anyway?
Not one bit surprised. What we wanted to do was capture it, because we've been saying this for years and we've been hearing this anecdotally. And, you know, I really feel like young people are existing through this perfect storm, and that's why we called it that, because it's not any one particular problem. You can't narrow it down to just social media or to just gender inequality or to cost of living crisis or, you know, bad leadership at government level or across the world. Like, you can't narrow it down. It's all of those things all of the time, and that's why so many are struggling. And I also feel like they think they don't have a voice, and they think that, you know, they can't impact or affect change, and they think that they won't be valued for being, you know, strong women who are out there creating change, because that's not what the world is showing them. So it is that perfect storm that they're existing in. And, you know, I was writing a funding application on the way up on the train this morning, and I was just trying to capture what it is that we do. And I think what we do is not to fix girls, but to show them they don't need to be fixed. You know, they have everything that's within them, and that is valued and it is important. And when you lean into those things then and figure out who you are and show up however that means for you, that's when you start to feel, I suppose, more equipped and more part of the world.
Something you said when you released these figures was that this is a call to action, because obviously you can't just tie it all up in a bow and say, here's the stats and here's how we're going to fix it. And now let's just get on with it. You're going to need support. Yeah. And you wanted to hear from communities, from government, from leadership and from the girls themselves as to how we start to turn those stats around. So have you felt any of that action come back?
Yeah, I mean, we always said the Shona Project is not a charity, it's a movement for change. And, you know, so many people have showed up, you included. So many people are like, what do you need? Because they see the value and they see the importance of it, and they kind of look to themselves and say, well, what do I have, or what can I give? Whether that's funding or a platform or a mentorship or whatever the case may be, people have shown up in their droves for us. And I think as an organisation, if you look at the impact that we've had, we're punching way above our weight in terms of like the revenue that we have, our budgets, our team. And that's because of people like yourself and others that have shown up for us. And we need that to continue, because we're just about to launch our strategy for the next three years. And our vision is way bigger than anything we've even done to date. Obviously, we need to work more with government. And I think now that we have this research and other research like it, we're able to represent the girls where decisions are being made. And we're starting to see that happen, where we're being invited into those rooms and we're able to take their stories and share them. And again, that will show the girls themselves, actually, when you do speak out, things will happen and people will listen. So it really has become almost like an ecosystem. And we don't see ourselves as running the show. We see ourselves as just kind of making it happen and supporting those girls and pushing them forward and just getting them to believe in themselves.
And I love that you mentioned ecosystem, because even in that call to action, as I said, you were talking about communities, families, the girls themselves, as well as leaders and policymakers. So this is going to be an all-encompassing movement. Yeah. But can we talk about the schools? Because I think that's quite stark. 67% say their school environment is not a safe or welcoming space at all. And because secondary school in particular is such a chunk of those formative teenage years, that's quite sad to see. And I know there are incredible teachers, principals, well-meaning individuals working within that space, but that's something that really needs to be looked at and reworked.
Yeah, we've partnered with some great schools that have said, whatever programs you have, let's engage through the whole school community. And, you know, we've been able to collaborate with them to start creating that impact. And then, you know, what we see is girls go into first year and they see the older girls treating each other in a certain way and competing with each other and struggling with anxiety, and they feel like this is just what it is to be in secondary school. So it's very hard to change that. You kind of have to go in and hit it from every angle and have conversations early on about, let's redefine this process for ourselves. I think young women being able to feel some level of leadership. So our ambassador program, say, for example, we've identified young leaders in over 100 schools across Ireland, and we've built a network for those leaders, and we're developing that leadership. And then those girls become leaders within their own school, positive leaders and role models to the younger girls. So it's certainly possible to do it. I think teachers, you know, most of them are amazing, but they're overworked and they're not equipped to provide the level of support that so many young people need. I think it's kind of a post-COVID thing, is that the needs have totally changed and the system hasn't adapted to meet those needs yet. But organisations like ours were able to come in quickly and to be agile, you know, and to look at, well, where are the gaps? Let's bring in the expertise and let's get this done.
Yeah, and give the framework, because obviously the intention can be there, but you need to know what are the steps to follow. And that's why I think it's so impactful what you guys are doing. What about the girls then? Because you kind of put a call out to the girls themselves. What can we do to help you with what these stats are saying? What have they been saying?
I think what they've been saying is, first of all, the research is really refreshing for them, because they feel like, as I said, they have been heard, and they feel like, well, maybe it's not just me when they're seeing the stats. So they're like, okay, well, this is where we are. What are we going to do about it? And we found multiple ways to support them, either through direct mentorship, through the ambassador program, which I mentioned, our school anti-bullying workshops. But really what we want to do is give them the tools to become leaders themselves. You know, we can't do it for them. We have to just kind of build an environment that feels safe enough for them to figure that out for themselves. And I think they're just happy to have a voice and to feel that that voice means something.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there doesn't always have to be this pink bow and everything is solved, but to be able to be seen and heard is so huge. Talk to me a bit about something else that you launched recently, 500 by 500.
My team call this a 3AMer. It's usually an idea that comes to me at 3AM. And what we wanted to do was build a movement where our generation would support the next generation. So we're calling on 500 women to either fundraise or donate €500 a year so that we can fund our operations for the next 3 years. And that could be anything. We had a lovely woman the other day. She made jewellery and she sold it online to raise her money. Some women are business owners or are part of a community. They have dinner parties. And then we're going to mobilize those 500 women to be the generation that show up for the next generation. And we might have, you know, some events. It's a lovely community that we have planned for those 500 women and men, obviously, of course, or smaller organizations. But we're really putting the call out, because there's 250,000 girls in Ireland. We want to raise 250,000 a year so that we can make sure every one of them has what they need.
How do you make sure that you have what you need in the midst of that? You mentioned 3AMers. This is not a 9 to 5 walk out the door and forget about what you're doing. And I know it's a passion and that brings its own fuel. But how do you make sure you mind yourself within all of this?
Such a Claire McKenna question. Look, I wouldn't feel sorry for me. I work very hard, but I have the best job in the world. I have a great team. I have amazing support. I have a brilliant family. I do my best. But, you know, this job has been a brilliant opportunity for me to be able to create something that will hopefully outlast me and become a legacy that will last maybe for generations. So, yeah, you don't need to feel sorry for me. I'm doing okay.
And every now and then you hold yourself up in gorgeous Roundwood House in Leash and hide away for a couple of nights. So, yes, because we need you. We need you fit, well, and to continue doing the incredible work you and your team are doing. If you want to find out more, you can read that report of Perfect Storm, the stats, and hear how you can support. Go to shona.ie. Tammy D'Arcy, thank you so much for coming on.
Cheers.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.